Hello and welcome to the Farming Advice Service podcast. I'm Laura Harpham, and today we'll be talking to Amber Lowell from the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust, which I'll probably refer to as GWCT while we're chatting, just because it's a little bit easier to say. And we're talking about the big farmland bird count, which is coming up in February. Welcome, Amber. Thanks for joining me today. Before we get into the chat about the count, could you give our listeners a brief introduction to yourself and your role within GWCT, please?
Hi Laura, thank you very much for having me today. I'm Amber. I work for the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust. I'm a Game and Wildlife Advisor for the Trust. Some of you might actually know it as the Game Conservancy, still, even though the name changed a little while ago. Lots of people still refer to it as the Game Conservancy. But I live in Dorset, so I cover southwest of England, and we offer advice in conservation, land management, game management, shooting. Everything to do with general land management. There are a number of us within the trust, and we cover England, Scotland, and Wales. So, any queries, we're probably well covered. I'm very happy to answer questions. People can very happily ring us up, and we'll give advice over the phone, or we do go out and do on-site farm visits and shoot visits. So, yeah, that's basically what I do.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much for joining us. And yeah, I have been up to one of your sites for farm events, wandering around looking at, I think we were looking at border management. So the interaction between it was livestock grazing and then hedgerows at farm tracks into a woodland. And yeah, lots of really great expertise and on the ground practical
They well
stuff. So
might have been the Allerton project.
the
Was that
Allerton Project. Yes, I was trying to remember the name, but it
it?
wasn't on the top of
Yeah,
my
the
head.
Allerton project in Leicestershire. It's our demonstration farm. And we have that's where we run our shoot as well, our little driven shoot up there. So yes, I'm sure lots of people will have gone for farm walks and educational courses and whatnot up there. It's quite busy.
Yes, brilliant. Okay, so the big farmland bird count, I imagine quite a few people who are listening to this will have heard of it, though they might not necessarily have taken part before. So before we get into the kind of practicalities of this year, can you tell us a little bit about the history? So how long has it been running? What is it and what is it for? And also maybe what happens to the results?
So the big farmland bird count, amazingly, it's in its 10th year now, which seems wild.
Oh my goodness.
Where essentially in the first 2 weeks of February, we asked farmers, land managers, gamekeepers, or anyone with a connection or interest in our countryside to go and take half an hour to count the birds, in a specific spot on their farm or on their shoot. Essentially, it's a citizen science project, quite similar to those that are run by, other organisations. But their main aim for us is to raise awareness amongst the general public and government policymakers, as well as farmers themselves sometimes, of the important role that they play in the conservation and population recovery of farmland birds, and to measure the impact of conservation efforts that are already being undertaken across the country. Farmers and gamekeepers do absolutely amazing things for conservation, whether that be through, planting arable field margins, game bird mixes, supplementary feeding, or having, lovely big fat wide hedges with lots of seeds and berries through the winter. But as an industry, I think historically we've been pretty poor about projecting that out to the general public and letting people know about all the great things that we do. So that's our job basically, is to tell everyone what all these lovely conservation measures are being put in place on farm across the country, and it's widespread now. So our job is to tell everyone what's been going on, and taking part in the big farmland bird count really is a really simple, small way that people can get involved and help us to do that better basically. Data is key, and without the data we we can't project that brilliant message out to the general public and to government. But the big farmland bird count really is quite a simple concept. So there's not difficult specific requirements or rules to take part. It's not a in-depth scientific study. We just aim for, people to go out for 30 minutes, count the birds in a specific spot on the farm, which could be, on a hedge junction, an area where you provide supplementary feeding, or next to a patch of woodland, for example, somewhere where the birds, like to live. You can even sit in the truck. You don't have to sit outside. You know, if the weather's a bit grim, that's fine, which is always good to know. I always like to point that out, actually, that you can't just sit in the truck and do it. But literally find a nice spot that birds like to live in and count for half an hour. Count the maximum number of species that you see over that time period. So, you know, if you spot 10 different blue tits, then write down 10 on the form rather than just ticking to say that you've seen them. But yeah, just wanted to stress it's not an exacting scientific study. It's not in-depth research or anything. The main aim really is for people to have a go and to be involved and provide some data that is really useful for us in telling everyone else, you know, what good stuff you're doing.
Sure, yeah, and absolutely. With the shift in policy at the moment, we're not here today to talk about that, but it will be in everybody's awareness, especially with announcements that came out around the Sustainable Farming Incentive beginning of this month. We're recording this towards the end of January. The shift in public money for public goods, which food, of course, is one of those, but increasingly a focus on environmental sustainability and wildlife management falls within that. And I absolutely agree. The farming industry doesn't necessarily get as much credit as it deserves for the great work that happens, partly because not necessarily in areas where the public would have access to a farm isn't a nature reserve in the same way as some organisations will be able to run. So getting these records is really valuable. You mentioned that it's around both raising awareness with the public, but also government body awareness. Are there particular things that happen with the results of these? Does it go into a report? I know that we sometimes see it in the media, usually March time, when all of those results are circulated.
Yeah, so we've got quite a good strong data set now, really. 10 years worth of count data is quite strong, really. And what's interesting, actually, is although it's very useful to have the bird count data and seeing sort of general population trends across the country, what's really encouraging for us is seeing the participation rates. So, you know, when we started, we had 492 participants, and at our most people that took part was just over 2,500 a couple of years ago, which was really encouraging. So from that perspective, I think it's incredibly important to give that information over to government and say, look, farmers are interested in conservation. They are interested in the populations of farmland birds that they're seeing, and they're interested in counting what they have. And, you know, that is reflected in countryside stewardship schemes and see all the lovely margins and hedgerows and whatnot across the country. But I think recording it is incredibly important. But all the data that we collect basically goes into a huge online database, and people that have contributed in the past can access their individual farms data. So you can go back for a few years now and access all the data that you've inputted for the big farm and bird count. But essentially, we'll gather everything together at the end of the count, crunch the numbers, and sort of draw out key elements that highlight positive and negative trends. You know, we pull out key information like how many people have taken part, obviously, across what acreage across the country, how many species, how many of those are red listed species as well. That's a really key one. You know, how many farms, what proportion of farms have counted high numbers of red listed species, which obviously are in decline and species of concern. So, and we compare this to previous year's results and get a really nice sort of long-term trend in data. Then obviously that goes out to lots of media outlets, and we give it to various newspapers and radio stations and all this kind of stuff, but it'll feed into a wider picture about the state of farmland conservation and bird conservation across farmland and the role that land managers and keepers and farmers are playing in that population trend and recovery. It's all part of a big picture, and we need each element to play its part, but it's incredibly important as a citizen science project for us. And getting the involvement is equally as important as the data that's collected. The involvement is really key for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Switched on to, yeah, what's on your land when we're talking about people who are doing the active management, you know, those of us who don't actively farm but enjoy wildlife. I'm a self-confessed bird nerd, so I do the non-farmer equivalent in January, the last weekend.
Yeah.
So hopefully some people who'll be listening will be inspired to participate for the first time. You mentioned that if people have already done a count, then they can access their records. I've got two questions that have kind of been prompted by that. The first is, if you are interested in finding a bit more about what's been found in the counts up to date, where might that information be available? Is it something that's on your website, or is it a specific data set that people have to request?
No, so we have a website for the Big Farm and Bird Count. So just Google it, Big Farm and Bird Count, and you'll come up with our website. You can find key trends and key bits of data from previous years. If someone wants to know something very specific, like, you know, how many blue tits were counted in Essex in 2018 or something, get in contact with us, drop an email to the GWCT and it will be directed to me, and I can answer any queries, anything that's very specific like that. But generally, yeah, there's sort of general overall trends on the Big Farm and Bird Count website. So go and have a look. You should find lots of information that hopefully will answer questions. But anything specific, please do get in touch. Absolutely not a problem. And we'll try and give you more in-depth data.
Good stuff, in which case I will put some contact details in the description of this podcast, if that's all right with you. And if people want to follow up, I can. Okay, so if it's your first time or you're coming back to it after a bit of a break, let's talk practicalities. What are the dates? How do you register? And how, if you're not a bird nerd, do you know what you're looking at? Is there kind of guides or ID help sheets, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm not a bird nerd, so the ID help sheets are important for me as well. In terms of dates, this year's count's taking place from the 2nd to the 18th of February. And to take part, all you need to do is Google the Big Farm and Bird Count. On our website, you can find a count sheet to download and also information on how to register and log in. But essentially, download a count sheet and print it off and go out and do the bird count. There's more information about exactly how to do it. But as a brief rundown, 30 minutes, like I said earlier, 30 minutes in a specific spot, count how many you see and write them on the form. In terms of bird ID and help and bird profiles and all this kind of stuff, we do have lots of resources on the website. Please log on and have a look. There's some YouTube videos and printout guides. The printout guides are really useful. I think I'd recommend those for someone who's quite novice or hasn't done it before, but I find those quite useful. I also found some very good bird ID apps that you can download onto your phone. They're quite useful if there's something that's quite specific and you're not quite sure what it is. And there's some that will record sort of the song of birds, and they're quite handy. I think a top tip, really, have a think about where you're counting as well. So, for example, if you're on the edge of a woodland with some very dense hedges and a little bit of grass and it's quite thick cover, you're not likely to see a skylark, for example. That's more open arable. But you are more likely to see sort of woodland birds, woodland edge birds, like blackbirds or dunnocks, for example. Vice versa, on arable land, you know, you're more likely to see skylarks and those sort of open arable birds. So have a think about where you are. That will by and large dictate what birds you're going to see. So if you're in the middle of a piece of woodland and you see what you think is a skylark, it's probably not a skylark just because of where you are and the environment you're in.
Sure, yeah, and I'm sure that there's some things that you're probably expecting to have data on. As you say, there's some common species. If someone submits a record for, oh, I don't know, a flamingo, not a common problem bird, there's going to be a process.
We might think it was a miscount, that one.
Yes, a miscount, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Good stuff. Okay, so half an hour between any point in those dates. Again, we'll put a link through to the Bird Count webpage in the description as well to make it as easy as possible for people. Any time of day, if you're out on the land regularly, then you'll get a feel for both where you're most likely to see birds and also what kind of day. Dawn or dusk is often kind of suggested as a good one, but you don't have to crowbar this into schedule. Obviously, everybody's busy. So I have heard it said from previous years that it's a good excuse for a bit of a break, to be honest. I know that that's not always an option for everybody, but if you've got a thermos flask and you can afford to spend half an hour, as you say, sitting on a stool or a bench or in the cab of whatever you're driving and just taking half an hour to appreciate the amazing landscape and wildlife habitat that you're responsible for taking care of, then it's not just the case for farmers and land managers. Lots of us don't prioritize time to do that in our day-to-day lives.
And it's definitely worth it. And it's interesting talking to people who, you know, maybe never done this before and never sort of never stopped and looked and really studied what they've got. And obviously everyone's incredibly busy and you need to get on with stuff. But when you do just sit for and just sit and look, it's amazing what you suddenly see. You know, things do appear that you've never seen before. And a lot of people quite find it quite therapeutic and quite sort of enlightening, almost sort of registering actually what is there, you know, because if you're driving past quite quickly, obviously you don't really see much. But yes, a well-being break is a good one. I always think encouraging people to like drag the kids out at the weekend or something as well, you know.
Yeah,
getting them involved as well is really great. Get them to do their own count or whatever, keep them occupied for half an hour or so.
Good stuff. Okay, final couple of questions from me, if that's all right. We've talked about thinking a little bit ahead in where and when you might want to do it. I know that there will be plenty of people who are doing actions on farm, whether it's through Countryside Stewardship or another scheme or just off their own back to do things like supplementary feeding. In terms of the balance between getting the most sightings possible and skewing your results, what's the stance on feeding birds and then doing your count in an area where you feed?
I think for this particular example, I don't think it particularly matters. I mean, we'll always say to people, if you have an area where you are supplementary feeding, that is a really good place to count, because it, you know, it does draw in birds from the locality to that one spot. And it just makes it easier for whoever's counting to actually count them. It's not about skewing results or sort of providing an unrepresentative sample of what's on the farm, because they're already, those birds that are on that feeder are already on the farm. They're just condensed into one spot, which is, you know, much easier to count, and it gives us a good indication of what's there. Whereas if they're all spread out, it's obviously much harder to count properly. But I don't think it matters, to be honest, for this study that we're undertaking. We just are interested in getting people out and about counting what they can see. And I always would encourage supplementary feeding. It's an incredible way to support the birds in this hungry gap through the winter to early spring. So it's a good place to do it if you can. If you don't have any supplementary feeding, that's fine. A hedgerow works just as well.
Sure. Okay, thank you. That's helpful. People are thinking about it. So we've got a couple of weeks to go before the first date. And so supplementary feeding starting a week or so early so that the bird populations know where to come to. If you're it's not an essential, but if you really do want to maximize the number that you see, then a week or so's preparation, especially given the weather that we've had. It was -7 up here today. Amber, I don't know what the temperature's like for you, but yeah, a little bit of extra feeding at this time of year will make a difference.
But it's never a bad thing. So always, especially like you said, in this very, very cold period, like this is now the hungry gap, really, now until sort of March time, there really is very little natural food around. So this really is the period when they need that extra help, to be honest.
Ah, okay, thank you. Final thing before I do my closing statement, as it were.
Yep.
As people are doing their counts and sharing their results, are you encouraging people to post about it on social? Is there a hashtag or anything else that people can use if they want to encourage others, especially if they've got a strong Twitter platform, for example, it's appropriate.
Yes,
sorry, please. It's not Twitter anymore. X,
no,
apologies.
Oh, what is it now? X, yeah, X. No. It'll be Twitter for a long time for me. No, absolutely. Please share this. This is really, really important, actually, to get the social media following up a little bit. We use the hashtag Big Farmland Bird Count or BFBC if you want to do that. If you can tag the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust, that'd be wonderful as well, because then we can share it and share the message, as it were. But yes, please, Twitter, Instagram, any Facebook groups or whatnot. Yes, please absolutely do share it. Very happy to. And tag the Game Wildlife Conservation Trust and hashtag Big Farmland Bird Count.
Fantastic. Okay, thanks very much, Amber. Thanks for your time today. And thanks to you, the listeners. And also to DEFRA, who fund the Farming Advice Service to help farmers to stay compliant with the farming regulations, which protect the environment, animal health and welfare. You can find our other podcasts on whatever service you're using to access this, and also on our website alongside webinar recordings. So that's farmingadviceservice.org.uk. And that also hosts information on events, forthcoming webinars, technical articles, online resources. There's lots of good stuff on there. We also have X, Twitter, and our handle is @DefraFaz. And the podcast and newsletter team are always very appreciative of any feedback and suggestions on what else you want to know about. So please do drop us a line either at DefraFaz or the email address advice@farmingadviceservice.org.uk. And if you'd like to keep up to date with future podcasts, events and news from the Farming Advice Service, you can sign up to our monthly newsletter and key dates, which is packed full of timely nudges and relevant advice, as well as the FAS website I've already mentioned. So thank you very much for listening and enjoy the rest of your day.